Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be sore at the banks. Hell, we fired our CEO and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back.
Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I got very excited about having our good friend Rick Lepsinger back on the show. Rick is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of On Point Consulting, the author of Flexible Leadership, and he's joined us over the years many times to talk to us about how you and I can become better leaders, and he's here to talk to us about that right now. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. Great to be here.
Good to have you back. One of the things you want to talk about is how to gain support and commitment from others, and we've got three separate areas that you want to cover, and talk to us about what the first one is.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, this whole notion of influencing, you know, in today's organizations, people depend a great deal on the support of colleagues or peers, people over whom they don't have any direct authority. And this is true whether it's a large organization or a small organization. So the ability to gain people's commitment and buy-in to your ideas and to your initiatives has become, you know, increasingly important.
But how do you reconcile that with the value and the power of collaboration?
Well, it is actually all about collaboration. As a matter of fact, it's the ability
But if I'm trying to convince you to see it my way, if I'm trying to influence you to see it my way, and you're doing the same thing, I mean, I guess some people might be thinking about this and saying, you know, how do we reconcile those two?
Yeah, well, part of being a good influencer, and this is what our research has found, part of being a good influencer is also the ability and the willingness to be influenced. In other words, if all you do is just push for your idea, mm-hmm. and you're not listening and open to the ideas of mm-hmm. others, then that weakens your ability to gain their support and commitment. Mm-hmm. But the point is that if you do have a key idea, and especially when priorities are not always aligned or goals are not always aligned, what you're trying to do is help people understand either what's in it for them, why they should be supporting your idea, the benefits of your idea to them or to the organization, and how it aligns with some of their key values, which gets us to some of the tactics. So you're really doing this in the best interest of the organization. It's if your influence attempts are self-serving,
right,
or for self-aggrandizement, over time that will also weaken your ability,
right,
to be able to gain support.
Well, you've got some core tactics you want to tell us about.
Yeah, we've done a study with a gentleman named Gary Uecker at the University of Albany, and we've been able to, we're trying to answer two key questions. One of them were, what do effective leaders do when they're trying to gain commitment and support of others? What's the array of tactics and behaviors? And the second question is among these tactics, which ones have the strongest likelihood of gaining commitment overall? So I thought I could take a little time to talk about those four core tactics and focus on the things that are more likely to gain commitment.
All right, what's the first one?
So the first one is rational persuasion, which actually is using facts and logic to support your proposal. This one actually ends up being the most frequently used, and it's seen as being the most effective. We even did a study across 12 different cultures, and even across culture, this is seen as being the most effective and it's the most frequently used. The problem with rational persuasion is that people become overly reliant on it and overly dependent on it. And even when the conditions that are required to support rational persuasion are not in place, we just keep banging away at it.
So you're talking about empirical data.
Yeah, having facts and logic, right? But it's also about your
facts is empirical, logic is subjective, but facts and logic, you mean logical assumptions from those facts,
right? But and related to that, there are two things that need to be in place in order for that kind of proposal or thinking to be effective. One is you have to be seen as a credible resource. If the other person believes they know more than you do mm-hmm. or as much as you do about the situation.
If your facts are not well-founded, if they question your facts, too.
Right, exactly right. And that would weaken your argument and make rational persuasion much less effective.
Right.
In addition to that, goals need to be aligned. Because your rational argument and your facts and data mm-hmm. are directed toward a particular outcome. And if the person isn't interested in moving in that, you know, if his goal is a different goal, then
right.
it doesn't matter how good your facts are. They're going right. in a totally different direction.
Hold on to that thought, Rick. We're going to take a quick break. Give us the website, please.
It's On Point Consulting, LLC.
Check it out, .com, I'm sure. And going to take a quick break, 20 till, right back. With Rick Lepsinger, we're going to talk about some more core influencing tactics. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.